9 a.m. Saturday mornings.
Well, we approve.
Endorse.
Love.
Cherish.
Ginger's Garden Cafe.
Our valley finally has gourmet quality food that is good for you.
Every dish is made from scratch using the finest, freshest organic produce.
We've tried everything on the large menu.
Scrumptious salad.
Signature sandwiches.
Creamy soups.
Over-the-top smoothies and sorbets.
And fast service.
Ginger's has no wait lunches.
Pick it up, take it out, or call ahead.
Wow, faster than fast.
Yeah, and quality.
Without the grease.
Fat.
Chemical additives.
These wonderful no-wait lunches with a big sandwich, salad, and fresh juice.
Or lemonade.
Are similarly priced to that awful junk food.
I know you will adore Ginger's just as we do.
Ginger's Garden Cafe is conveniently located at 188 South Main in Springville.
Just minutes from most locations.
The atmosphere is delightful.
The staff super friendly.
And again, the food is astounding.
Ginger's.
Open from 11 a.m. till 6 p.m. daily.
Not Sunday.
So listen to us.
And treat yourself daily to Ginger's Garden Cafe.
Downtown Springville, 188 South Main. Call 489-4500 for a healthier you. Good morning, and welcome to A Healthier You. I am your host, David Christopher, with my co-host, Fawn. And this morning, as we do every Saturday morning, we're going to talk about ways of making you healthier. Good morning, Fawn.
Well, good morning, David. Let's get the show going.
Okay.
What are we talking about?
I don't know. What do you want to talk about?
I don't know. What do you want to talk about?
Well, you know, one thing that's interesting is I've been hearing so much lately about, you know, herbs are unreliable, herbs are untested, herbs are unproven, herbs don't have enough medicaments in them to do any good, you know, on and on and on and on, you know. And then people saying that the only herbs that are of valid or of value are the standardized herbs. Well, let's just talk a little bit about the effectiveness of herbs and the safety of herbs. Just a little bit, you know. Herbs have been used since the beginning of time. And, you know, there's records going back to the Neanderthal man. They did an excavation of a cave and found these ancient remains. And, in fact, it was a burial site. And around the burial site were these pollens from all these plants, because they'd I guess surrounded the body with decor, if you would, and they analyzed the pollens and they were able to pinpoint which plants was they put around this dead body, you know, as a last rite funeral service. And 8 of the 10 plants they analyzed are still used medicinally today.
That's amazing.
Absolutely. And so they didn't do it because the flowers were pretty. They didn't put pretty flowers around this body. They put plants they knew were medicinal. Because one of them was ephedra. Have you ever seen ephedra?
Mm-hmm, I have.
It's one of the ugliest plants on the face of the earth.
It's a
raggedy
plant.
It is this trunk that comes out of the ground with something that looks like something stuck. Sticks into it and stuck other sticks into that. And that's it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a stick tree. So it certainly wasn't for its beauty. And it doesn't flower. I mean, it's not a detectable flower that you can see. So definitely they put plants around these ancient burial sites that indicated healing that happened during their lifetime. Not that it was going to heal a dead person, but that as a matter of respect for something that's very valuable, they put around these bodies. And there's been a long, long history of herbal use. And it isn't the history that the medical profession likes to point out that, oh, yeah, look how many people died of this and that. And it's because they got away from the herbs. They got into what the medicine of the day thought was scientific, was popular. And every instance is because they got away from the natural remedies, that they got into these plagues and problems. And you cannot flood the body with things we're not supposed to eat. You know, there's only 3 things we eat in this world. We eat fats, we eat carbohydrates, and we eat protein. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't eat them as something solid, separate. We eat them in combinations in foods. And so, as far as what we eat is concerned, that's fairly simple. We eat it as natural as possible, the way it's provided by this earth, by nature. You know, you know, we can grow it and everything, and that's great. But it's the high processing of these foods that then causes the problems. How do we get into food?
I don't know. You're talking about herbs that you're herbing, for the, since the beginning of time.
Oh, yeah, and that through all the eras, when they got away from natural, wholesome things, that's when they started coming down with all these problems. When people started highly processing their food, and when people started highly processing their herbs and isolating substances from them, then they started coming down with more of these diseases, more of these problems, getting away from what's natural. And now we're finding out that with the processing of these products, there comes the damage. Because when you highly process something, you create, down to the molecular level, free radicals. Those electrons that are spinning around the atoms, I mean, right down to the molecular level, are imbalanced. And so when a substance that's imbalanced touches up against one of your cells, it can attach on and grab one of your electrons and make that cell imbalanced so it doesn't function properly, and then you become imbalanced because of eating imbalanced foods. And highly processed foods are imbalanced. You know, we've mentioned on the program before about our dogs and cats, our pets, coming down with the same problems we have, cancer, diabetes, you know, stroke, all of these things that we've been having, and they're coming down with it. You don't see wolves and coyotes out in the wild having any of those diseases. It's because of what we're feeding them. And what do we feed most animals?
Well,
most of our pets.
Generally, a lot of people like to feed them table scraps.
Yeah, and what happens when they feed them table scraps is they get fat like us.
Mm-hmm.
But when we feed them quote-unquote scientifically proven dog food, this dry dog food, that's where I think they're getting the cancers, because they're getting a free radical oxygen from the processing, plus they're destroying all the enzymes, you know.
Now, we've had a lot of students write in and tell us how their pets are vegetarians along with them. I know that one of our students wrote in, and they've named a horse after me that was just born, a little horse they named Fawn because they've fed the mother really well and put her on a really good regimen of good, healthy food and good, healthy herbs, and had this beautiful new little baby horse, and they named him after me, all because they went through the school. It's amazing.
Huh? And then they were feeding their other animals
junk. Regular stuff, no. Just regular stuff.
Okay, so at any rate, when we give an animal nothing but this dried, prepared dog food, it's kind of like, reminds me of dry cereal.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that's what's causing the most cancer and diabetes and all these problems in these animals, the diseases that we're having,
mm-hmm.
is that lack of enzymes and the free radical oxygen that exists from the processing of that. And if you were to take wolves and coyotes out in the wild and give them that type of food, they'd get cancer too.
Exactly.
They'd have heart disease, they'd have diabetes, they'd have all the same things that we're having. So what we're advocating is getting away from highly processed substances. Because we've been taught, you know, to eat wholesome, not partsome, wholesome. Wholesome means the way it was grown, the way it was intended. And we're also advocated to eat fresh. So fresh, wholesome. And you eat fresh, wholesome foods, and you take fresh, wholesome medicine, and you're going to have fresh, wholesome health.
Exactly.
You know, you get life from life. You don't get life from death. If you're always eating dead foods or foods that were never alive, you know, then that's the problem. And it's interesting. I as I'm thinking about this, used to be considered a health food, margarine. That's one of the most highly processed foods out there. And I never considered it a health food. It didn't taste good. Some people like the taste of it, I guess, but it just didn't seem right. It never seemed right. And it just seemed so unnatural. Now they're finding out that margarine is one of the worst things you could put in your diet. Because, and it's interesting that they'll advertise these margarines as healthy because they're made with polyunsaturates. Polyunsaturated oils. So how do you get a polyunsaturate that's liquid to stand in a block?
Doesn't make a whole lot of sense, does it?
Yeah, at room temperature, it stands in a block. How does that happen?
I do not know.
Well, I do. And that is, they take these polyunsaturates, which means they have a lot of carbon molecules that aren't attached with hydrogen. And then through the processing, all of those links are then filled in with hydrogen. So it's called hydrogenization. They're hydrogenated. And so you've then made a polyunsaturate look like a saturate. See, the saturates are all filled in. Well, our bodies can't compute. Can't you deal with that? Don't know what to do with it. And so when you artificially hydrogenate these polyunsaturates, you come up with a worse product than the saturates in the first place. And that's why New York, we've got an article here, New York to ban trans fats. And there's a number of other states that are looking at it too. They're banning them because they see how detrimental they are. They not only can't be used by the body, they block other essential nutrients from getting in. And the body takes them and it doesn't know what to do with them. It can't break them down because of the way we process them. So, yeah, the very, very worst thing I can think of in my mind right now is to take TVP and put margarine on it and bake it in the oven.
That doesn't sound very good at all.
I think you're going to get cancer really quick. You know?
That's your soul food, huh?
Yeah.
Your only food.
Well, yeah. So we want to stay away from highly processed foods. And that's why we've been advocating for all these years, you know, fresh, wholesome food, fresh fruits and vegetables. That's the basis of our diet. You know, whole grains, not parts and grains, you know, Twinkies and Kix and Trix and all those things. Those don't even look like the original grain.
Well, so are you saying that Spam and Velveeta aren't good for you?
Well, those are more yucky.
They really are.
I remember, I think it was on Jay Leno, they had this basketball contest, you know, between two fans, and they had the basketball was made out of Spam.
Oh, gross.
That's the grossest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, dear.
You know, and I think the reason that it's such a delicacy or food of choice in Hawaii is because of that's what was given and that's what was available, and then they got used to it. But yeah, I can't think of anything grosser than a Spam Velveeta sandwich on white Wonder Bread.
Yeah, exactly.
It's one of the most unnutritious things I can think of.
Melted in the oven.
But that's not even as bad as TVP and margarine. That is totally unnatural. See, there's wise food choices, and then there's not so wise food choices, and then there's things you should really stay away from. And these highly manufactured products you should really, really stay away from.
You know, Ginger and I had a quick stop at the grocery store the other day on the way to ballet, and we had a run-in for something. I can't remember what. Band-Aids, probably. I don't know. Band-Aids for her toes. But we walked down one of the aisles, and you could just smell the sugar. I think it was the baking aisle. You could just smell all of the sugar coming out. And then we walked down the candy aisle, and it was like, oh, get me out of here. My teeth
hurt. Cereal aisle.
My teeth hurt just smelling all the sugar. I couldn't believe how much sugar there was in that store, aisle after aisle of sugar. And then you walk down the chip aisle and you smell all of the what chemicals and all the chips and stuff, you know. I'm going, this is not a place to buy food.
You know, and you think of our food as being fairly unnatural. When I went to England, if you think our stuff's unnatural, their stuff is unbelievable. It's out of this world. It's from another planet. It's so unnatural. The colors and everything else, you know, it's like nobody'd buy that here because it looks so unnatural, you know. And then besides that, they're so addicted to sugar.
Are they?
Oh, yeah. Saw this one lady. She was just loading her cart with all these chocolate candies. Hmm. And, you know, we just thought, wow, you're eating a lot of candy, you know. And it's like, you know, I'm going to America. Well, they have candy in America. No, that's Baker's chocolate.
Oh, geez.
So they look at our chocolate bars as being not sweet enough. And I remember, I was there in England. I took two of their chocolates, you know, and ate them. And my blood sugar went haywire. I ran like over a mile.
I remember
stop,
you telling
you know,
me that.
I couldn't stop running.
You had to eat some tomatoes.
And then I got back to my room. I had to eat something natural, you know, and some crackers or something to offset all that sugar from just two little candies, you know.
You know, I had to go to Young Women's last week because they were changing presidencies, and so I went over also because I got put in something. Anyway, and what we were doing was saying goodbye to the old presidency and hello to the new presidency and getting to know each person and having hot chocolate and donuts. And they opened up these donuts, and the smell of sugar hit me in the face. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I can smell it right here. I don't know what's going on with my nose to be able to pick up the sugar so strongly. Anyway, and these donuts, I looked at them and I thought, that doesn't even tempt me. Just looking at them hurt my teeth. You know, I'm just thinking of all the sugar in there. Anyway, it was nice not to be tempted by donuts.
Okay. And now some people would say, well, sugar's natural. It comes from sugar cane or sugar beets.
Well, then, you know, we could get some just nice, you know, sugar cane and dry it ourselves and grind it up and have it if we wanted to. Or we could chew on the sugar cane. Or you could juice it like you did in Brazil.
That's right. I've mentioned on the program before, you know, when I was in Brazil, they had these little stands, and they had these little machines in there that had these cog wheels that went together. And when they went together, they would put a sugar cane stalk in there and then squeeze it and get the juice out. It wasn't white or clear.
It was brown.
It was dark green brown, yeah.
I wish we had seen those while we were in Brazil last time.
The only place I saw was back in the interior in Guayana.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But at any rate, sugar is not... I mean, sugarcane is not white as far as that. When
it's not pretty white. Like
pressed out, yeah. And so how do they get it white?
Bleach it?
Well, first of all, they process all the other stuff out, so it's down to the sweet chemical. You know, and then, yes, they do also use animal bones as bleach to bleach out any color. To make it pure white, you know.
Crazy.
But the main thing is they've taken it down to that one chemical, the sweet chemical. Everything else is gone. And so they found a high incidence of diabetes amongst sugar plantation owners, but not amongst the workers, because they couldn't get access to the finished product of sugar. But they did eat the sugar cane out of the field. And they didn't have the rotten teeth, and they didn't have the diabetes that the sugarcane plantation owners had.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they were eating a more wholesome, natural product. And that's the difference. It's taking it from a whole down to an isolate, down to a chemical that makes sugar so dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
And then like we mentioned on the other things, it's taking something natural and making it unnatural. So it's like we're just really messing up our whole food chain, trying to make things better. And it makes it better for who? Not for us. It makes it better for the food manufacturers and distributors, because then it can sit on the shelf for 100 years and it's not going to go bad.
Exactly.
And that's one of the reasons people store sugar, is because it doesn't go bad.
Yeah.
You know, you put it in something where ants aren't going to get to it. You know? It's amazing that ants can utilize it, you know. But, very natural. Now, relate that to herbs. What's the difference between an herb and a drug? They took what they think is the active ingredient in the herb, isolated it, looked at that, were able to duplicate it chemically through petroleum, you know. You just take the chemicals that are in petroleum and utilize that to put that same formation back together that they found in the herb, and then they call that a drug. So does it work? Yeah. It does work because herbs work. But the difference between herbs and drugs is that the herbs were put together to be effective and safe. Once you separate out the quote-unquote active ingredient, then yes, you have the effectiveness, but you've thrown away the safety because all the herbs are inherently safe because of the other chemicals that are in there. And that's what balances out the danger of the original chemical is the buffers and balancers that are in the herbs. So when they make a drug and separate all those out, then they've got something that works but is extremely unsafe. And that's why we're seeing a lot of problems with liver failure, is because the liver can't handle any more of these drugs. If it was in combination with the other chemicals, which would neutralize out the problems, then there wouldn't be the damage to the liver that you're seeing. So a lot of the liver damage we're seeing today is caused directly from drugs being taken, where if they had taken that original herb they got it from, it wouldn't be a problem. Take, for instance, my situation with gout. Okay? I knew I didn't want to take the drug colchicine, even though it was effective, because of the danger to your liver. So we got a hold of autumn crocus, which is the plant that they found the colchicine in. It's also, the Latin name is colchicum. And then made a liquid extract out of the herb, so it's a whole extract. And it's been effective, and it's been safe. And I think you'll find that with most of the herbs. Now, doctors will always point to foxglove, you know, and say, foxglove is dangerous, but the alkaloid that we get from it and recreate chemically, it's fine. Well, in that one particular instance, and it's really that one particular instance, what happened was foxglove was effective, but because people were more interested in making money than they were in doing something right, people would gather the foxglove at the wrong time, process it, and it would not have the chemical in it, the alkaloid. And so then they would have to adjust, you know, their dosage, because it was such a small amount that was in there because it was picked at the wrong time. And when they adjusted that, well, then that worked, but then they got a hold of a foxglove that was harvested at the right time, and it had the high amount of the alkaloid in, and then they get an overdose. And then that became a problem with that particular plant. But I can't think of another plant that's been the case. That's the key one they always use. Oh, well, foxglove's so dangerous. Well, I wouldn't use foxglove either, because you need some real skill to grow it, to harvest it at the right time, and to process it correctly, you know, to get the dosage standard on that. And that's something that's understandable. Most other plants, the dosage isn't that critical, because the plants that we use today are very safe and effective. We've mentioned on the program before that there were thousands of herbs being used back in the 1800s. And today there's like 200 or 300. What happened was when the medical profession stopped using herbs because they went to these chemicals that were derived from the plants in the first place or synthesized with petroleum products, and then they said, well, these are more effective. They didn't care about the safety thing. And a lot of times they just didn't see the safety problem. They went ahead and said, it works. And then they didn't attribute the side effects to that particular plant because it worked and it couldn't have been that. It must have been something else, you see. So the whole thing kind of snowballed and they got away from plants. Well, when they did, the lay public didn't want to use something that a doctor had been using that is very critical on dosage and that could kill you. So we didn't use those plants anymore. We used the safest but effective plants. And so those thousands of plants were filtered down to the couple of hundred plants we're using today, which are safe and effective. And they're safe and effective because they're in their whole state. Now you see the industry trying to go the other way again. And they're saying, okay, the reason herbs are ineffective or unsafe is because they're not standardized. So they'll take these plants and they'll see what they think is the active ingredient, and then they'll try to standardize that substance. Well, you know, as far as the plants are concerned, the same plant may not produce the same alkaloids and chemicals as another plant in another area because the soil composition is different. And so what it'll do is it'll actually make a different alkaloid or a different compound or make up for it with a different substance that works in the plant. See, so the plants are always balanced and work. They're designed to do a certain thing, and they'll do it. But by taking and trying to say this is what the active component is and standardizing that, what we've run into with standardization is down the road they'll find out that isn't the active ingredient at all.
Yeah, exactly.
And so they're standardizing the plant to something that isn't really working anyway. Or, even worse, some companies will take and extract that alkaloid out and then add it back to the plant. You know, they'll get all this cheap plant and they'll add it back to the plant and say, okay, it's the level that it's supposed to be to make it effective. Well, then that just becomes a drug masking as a plant, you see. And that's what makes drugs dangerous, is the isolation. They're not wholesome anymore. It's a parts and medicine, just like the parts and foods. We have whole health because of whole foods. We have safe medicine because they're whole. And so that's the main thing I'm trying to get across today, is that herbs are safe in their whole state. And yes, you may have to take more of them to get the medicament, if you would, out of them in the dosage that you need, but that's fine because you take more, you still have all those substances in the plant that are protecting you, you know, as far as the effectiveness of the one alkaloid. The other ones are buffers and safety valves for the plant. And so that's what makes herbs safe. And dosage isn't so critical. You know, people look at me sometimes and I'll say, well, yeah, go ahead and take 2 capsules 3 times a day, but if you need 3 times a day, or 4 3 times a day, or 10 3 times a day, or 20, 15 times a day, that's what you take. You work up to what you need. And herbs are so safe that if you do get to a point where it's something more than what you need, you might throw it up, or you might get a little diarrhea, or you might get a little headache or something, you know, you just back up a little bit, and that's probably where you need to be.
It's like when we make a tea, people are trying to be so specific about how to make a tea, an herbal tea. We just put the water on to boil and throw a handful of herbs in there, strain them off, and it looks dark enough.
Because we've used herbs long enough, we know how safe they are.
Yeah.
And really, a bigger handful is probably going to give you a more effective dosage, isn't it?
Exactly.
Okay. We're at the bottom of the hour, and so we're going to take phone calls the next part of the hour, so it's your time, 224-1414. Give us a call, 224-1414, and we'll talk about what you want us to talk about.
Exactly. You know, we always like to talk about David Hall, and the reason we like to talk about him is because he has the Cellarcizer. It's so easy to exercise on the Cellarcizer. And when you follow his videotape, It just gives you new ideas on how to use it even better to exercise all trillion cells of your body at the same time. It's just an amazing little, well, you can't really, it looks like a mini tramp, but it's so superior to a mini tramp. It truly is. And you just exercise, jump on it, bounce on it, get your lymph system moving. You can, you know, strengthen your whole body so easily and quickly. And it doesn't matter how cold it is outside or how hot it is outside. You can do it in the comfort of your home. You can work up a sweat, not work up a sweat, whatever, 10 minutes a day, and you've got your exercise done. And it's so easy. It's easy to fold up, put away. It's easy to unfold and get out. So I'd say within about 15 minutes, you could be done exercising. That's unfolding and folding the apparatus back up again. I mean, it's just so easy to do it. You can do it while you're watching TV, listening to the news, whatever you're doing. While you're waiting for somebody to make your breakfast, you can be bouncing on the solarizer. It's an easy way to exercise all year long. David Hall's 800 number is 800-856-4863. That's 800-856-4863. We also wanted to mention Roanne Van Sloot, and we really enjoy being able to talk about Roanne because she is a Nuka chiropractor. And why do we like Nuka chiropractors? Well, because they align your upper cervical so easily and swiftly and without any trauma. It's just so nice and natural to be able to have your upper cervicals fall into alignment. And then when that happens, the rest of your body says, phew, it's about time. I feel so much better. And your shoulders are level, your hips are level, your feet are the same length, your legs are the same length. It's so nice to feel good and to be able to do well with what you're doing. Roanne Van Sloten is located in Salt Lake City. Her number is 801-4863-9355. That's 486-9355. 486-9355. And then we also wanted to mention Chris Stolworthy. You know, we really enjoy having a massage because they feel so good. And Chris Stolworthy is right there at the herb shop. Has a nice little studio right there by the School of Natural Healing offices upstairs. And but she's only there by appointment. So you will want to call her and say, I need an appointment, come meet me, and she'll come down and meet you, and then you can have lunch at Ginger's Garden Cafe, and you can browse through the books, and you can pick up a few products if you need them, and then have a wonderful massage, and you will feel so good for the rest of the day. I mean, you'll say, oh, why didn't I think of this earlier? And if somebody's birthday's coming up, Mother's Day's coming up, Father's Day's coming up, you maybe could get a gift certificate for them to go in and have a nice, enjoyable massage with Chris Stolworthy. So, do we want to go to the phone lines?
I believe we've got someone on the phone.
Uh-huh.
Okay. David from West Jordan. Good morning. You're on the air.
Hello, David.
Hi, David.
Hey, listen. I've been thinking, you know how anti seems to be a negative word, so you hear anti-inflammatory, antibiotics, things like that.
Uh-huh.
I think it would be interesting to hear about that. And then, as we get older, you hear that your body is not able to assimilate like you could when you're younger. I think that'd be interesting to hear you talk about.
Okay.
Okay, we can talk about that. Are you ready to talk about that?
No, summarize that for me. What do I need to talk about?
Well, he's saying anti is such a derogatory term, you know, anti-inflammatory and all that, antibiotic and all that kind of stuff. It's anti. And then as your body gets older, we can't assimilate things. So how do you, all that, is that right, David?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
I think we'll go around with that. Thanks for your call.
All right.
Yeah, bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, it's like anti-Nephi Lehite.
Yeah, really? Such a contradiction.
Yeah. Where do we start there? Yeah, I guess if we went with something extreme like anti-death, you know, or anti-cancer, you know, or you know, then anti doesn't seem quite so bad, and yes, there is a definite confusion there because you know antioxidant is like, wait a minute, we need oxygen, And you're giving me an antioxidant? Well, yeah, that's confusing, really. And I'm glad David called with that suggestion.
Sharp.
Yeah, it's true. And I wish there was a better way of promoting that. You know, maybe they ought to say pro-oxidative, you know, because you almost have to understand what's going on there in order for antioxidant to mean something to you. Now, our body exists because of oxygen. I mean, you deny the body oxygen and that's it. It's over. Your body can't function without oxygen. And the oxygen carries with it, the molecule oxygen carries with it so many a molecular structure that is needed. It's just overloaded, you know, with these molecules that are needed by our body to operate. And when it gets in the body, it shares that. So, 224-1414, give us a call. We'll talk about what you want to talk about. Right now, we're talking about what David from West Jordan wanted us to talk about. And that is the term anti, you know. And so right now we're talking a little bit about antioxidant, and we're talking about the necessity of oxygen. Now, when oxygen gets in the system and we utilize all that energy, then the oxygen gets to a point where it actually needs to be broken down or eliminated because then we have an imbalanced oxygen that actually can cause damage. And generally, not through breathing we're going to get to that kind of thing, because the body knows how to breathe and use oxygen to its fullest. Mm-hmm. What happens is when we take substances and process them and create free radical oxygen through the processing, and the free radical oxygen then becomes very damaging. So, yes, oxygen is needed by the body, but free radical oxygen is not needed by the body and is very damaging. And that's why antioxidants have come out, not because we're anti-oxygen, because we're trying to protect the body from free radical oxygen damage, which comes from different sources. It comes from processing, comes from automobile exhaust, comes from tobacco smoke, comes from charbroiling meat, comes from popping and overheating and overprocessing grains into cereals, you know. TVP is probably one of your worst things, you know. Highly processing of foods causes so many problems. And so you get this free radical oxygen that enters the system, and then you have to have something to counter it. And, yeah, I'm not the one that came up with the term, but, yeah, it seems to me we could come up with something better than antioxidant, because then people get like, whoa, anti, oh, you know, I don't know.
What about a body that, you know, as you get older, your body cannot assimilate things? People are saying, oh, I can't assimilate that, I'm so older.
Yeah, you know, and a lot of that's the damage that we're causing by the things that we're eating, the way we're living our lives. So if we're always eating highly processed foods, one of the things that we're lacking in that food are enzymes. Because foods are designed to break down. So when we take them into our system, the enzymes that are in the food actually is what starts breaking that food down and makes it usable for us. Well, if we're eating foods that are heated over 110 degrees, then those enzymes start getting destroyed at 110, and they're all gone at 140. And most foods cooked over 140. So you've destroyed the enzymes which will break that food down. Then your body has to make up for what you just lost in the processing. So then your pancreas has to kick out more enzymes. And if we're not taking the nutrients in to make enzymes, you know, and if we're not uptaking the nutrients properly because they're not getting broke down, you know, properly in the body, then it's just like a vicious circle, you know. And so as we get older, then our pancreas becomes weaker, we make less and less enzymes, we don't produce the hydrochloric acid that we need to break things down, and all of a sudden we can't break down and assimilate food as well, and we get older and sicker and et cetera. That doesn't have to be.
Oh, absolutely not.
If we were to eat more natural raw foods that aren't so processed, then it's going to be very beneficial. Now, as far as things like, you know, condiments like olive oil, the processing of olive oil, it depends on who's processing it. All you have to do is take those little suckers and press them between stones, and the oil comes out. You know, and you can separate oil from water, and then you get olive oil. That's very little processing stuff of that. However, other companies may take and say, well, you know, we're not satisfied with just what's pressed between the stones. We want to get all the other oil that's in there, too, and so they'll highly process it with chemicals and things to try to get the rest of that oil out. You know, they're very stingy, and try to get every little drop out to make it, you know, more economic.
Exactly.
And so when you buy something like olive oil, then you want to get, like, virgin, first-pressed oil, you know, and then you're going to have something safer, something that's less processed, and it actually tastes better. You don't have as much bitter and everything in it, you know.
Exactly.
So even in health food stores, you need to be cognizant of kind of processing methods and say, well, how did they get this to that point? And try to pick things that have the least amount of processing, you know. And they carry a nice brand there at the herb shop in Springville,
absolutely,
which is cold-pressed. And doesn't involve heating, and so you have a more wholesome product and safer.
And the herb shop in Springville has a lot of wonderful things, and they specialize in just getting things that are good for you.
Yeah. Now another thing.
All the extra stuff. That,
sure.
Yeah.
Another thing with what David said, you know, anti-inflammatory, all those things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, inflammation is a part of the body's process, but the problem with so much inflammation is that we have to look at that and say, well, what's causing the body to have to overreact like that? And so rather than take anti-inflammatories, perhaps the best thing is to go back to nature, you know, and looking at what we're doing and saying, oh, because I'm eating these kind of foods, it's damaging my cell structure and I'm getting this inflammation because the body's then kind of trying to correct that problem. And so, yeah, taking anti-inflammatories isn't the best thing, but natural anti-inflammatories would help while we go back to the original cause of the problem and correct that.
Exactly.
And so if we're taking something into our system that's causing the inflammation, stop, you know, and start taking something more natural that's not going to damage your cellular structure.
Exactly.
Okay, now we have, I believe it's Linda in Springville. Good morning. You're on the air.
Yes, I just heard you talking about brewing a cup of tea, and that maybe sometimes you just you're not measuring just exactly. I'm wondering. I've always heard that too much calcium is not good for you. I'm not even sure where I heard that, but
you're absolutely right.
Okay, so I'm wondering about the herbal calcium formula, which I take all the time. I'm always doing my one teaspoon for one cup. Now, is that correct, or can I take more?
You can take more.
Okay, like
whatever you want.
Like, okay. Oh, well, that answers my question.
Okay, and we'll explain a little bit about the calcium.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thanks for your call. Great questions.
Yeah, and the reason she can take more is because there's no calcium in that formula.
Well, there is calcium, but not so much. The thing about the herbs is you're not taking calcium, you're taking calcium and magnesium and silica and, you know, all these substances.
All the trace minerals.
And that's why that's not a problem. Taking as much of that as you want is not a problem. It's taking just calcium. That's the problem.
So just a tablet of calcium.
Yeah, taking a calcium tablet. I wouldn't ever take calcium tablets from a health food store, from a drugstore, or anyplace else. Because it's not calcium that you need. It's the whole spectrum. It's calcium and magnesium and, like we mentioned, the silica, which is what that formula is highest in. The calcium formula of Dr. Christopher is actually is highest in silica because most people aren't getting the silica in their diet that they need. And you can't even use calcium without silica. And that's why his formula works so well.
Absolutely.
It's because of the high silica content. Yes, it's got calcium in there, but it's mainly the silica. What combines with the calcium that's in there, plus calcium that's just free-floating in your body, and the magnesium and everything, and that's what utilizes the calcium that's in there. And so they don't have to have high amounts of calcium, because you've already got, most people have too much calcium in their body anyway. And the body doesn't know what to do with it, so it just lays it down on arterial. And then you get hardening the arteries.
Yeah. So, Linda, what we're saying is that especially Dr. Christopher's herbal calcium formula, there's no worries.
Not with making a tea like that, no.
No, not with making a tea. You'll be just fine.
If you were to just eat the herbs, there is one herb in there, horsetail, that because of the grittiness, might not be the best thing for, you know, taking it that way. But as a tea, no problem whatsoever.
Well, we're going to go back to the phone line. So our number here is 224-1414, and give us a call.
So Tori in Highland, good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I'm calling for my daughter who had to go to work today, and she was wondering, her husband has a lot of hearing loss because he played in a band most of his life. And anyway, so he's taking the ear drops, the ear and nerve drops, three times a day, and he's also taking, I guess you have it in the tablet form, or capsule form. And then he had read where he's taking extra skull cap, like a teaspoon a day, and I had told her, I had read where, or heard, and I know it's probably not true, but where skull cap, if you took too much, could cause some side effects and even possibly liver damage and that. And so she was wondering if he was taking too much of that and if what he was doing would be beneficial. And then she also has a little year and a half old baby that she has been giving. She'd been giving him the Kitty Well, but she said it hasn't seemed to work real well, so she traded over to the straight echinacea and golden seal, and she was wondering if the golden seal, and that was okay to give that young.
Well, okay, we'll talk about that.
Well,
okay.
Wait a minute. Wait. Why is she...
Yes.
On her baby, why is she... Is the baby sick? Is that why
she... she said, he just had a bad cold and a cough, and so she was giving him... she normally, for all this time, and her other kids have given the Kitty Moon and the Kitty Well and that, but she said it didn't seem to... Somebody had told her that the regular echinacea and that was stronger, and so she had bought that, but then was wondering if that was too... giving the golden seal, and that was too much for the baby.
Okay.
We'll talk about that.
Thanks.
Okay,
thanks.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye.
First of all, the Kitty Well wouldn't be my first choice. Just if you want a lot of echinacea, you want to get the Kitty Immune.
And she said they were doing the Kitty Immune. But I think in addition...
And I don't think you're going to find anything stronger out there as far as echinacea is concerned.
I would, for a child, I would do the Kitty Immune rather than the echinacea golden seal.
Well, echinacea golden seal, short term might be very beneficial. Mm-hmm. But golden seal is a good herb for fighting infections.
Mm-hmm.
But what does it taste like?
It tastes awful.
It tastes absolutely horrid. And I think that's a clue that you don't give it every day of your life.
Yeah.
It's not something you would take as an after-dinner mint now, is it?
No, I don't think so.
You know, an echinacea is more of a neutral taste. It doesn't have that really strong taste like golden seal does. And I think golden seal is telling you, hey, use me, but not, you know, all the time.
Exactly.
And I wouldn't use, I'm sorry, the echinacea golden seal on a child that young. I would use the Kitty Immune, which is just the echinacea. And I don't think any other company gets as much echinacea packed into their liquid extract as does the Dr. Christopher company.
In addition to that, we have just been going through this with one of our little grandsons. In addition to that, you know, rubbing garlic oil on the chest with some sensei will really help this cold situation. Also doing it on rubbing garlic oil on the bottom of the feet will really help. And adding more garlic to the food, you know, just slightly. You don't have to really overpower the child with garlic so they don't like
onions
it.
Onions are a really good one for children.
Onions are excellent for children. A little onion soup, a little garlic mixed in there will really help, you know, wipe that right out. And if the little child is really sick, then I would try and this is always a tough one, but I would do some of that super immune garlic formula, you know, to just really wipe it out of the baby, and then make sure you pop something fun in their mouth, you know, a drink of some sort. But that's what I would do for a baby. I don't think I'd do the echinacea.
Yeah, for a baby, I would go more to what's considered a food,
yeah,
you know, rather than a straight herb. So garlic and onions are your best bet.
Yeah, and onion poultices on the chest, anything, you know, those are so much easier. But let's quickly talk, because we do have another caller, but let's quickly talk about the hearing loss. Can you take too much Skullcap?
Well, really, you can take too much of anything, but it's safer taking more Skullcap than taking some drug, you know.
Well, in addition, I hope that they're putting the drops in his ears, and
right,
also that he's taking it orally, and also the garlic oil, and just really opening up those channels, those, you know, station tubes by rubbing sensei down the glandular areas and behind the ears and working that way. Also putting it on the back of the neck at the base of the skull and rubbing it down that way and helping to rebuild that nerve damage. What about that old combination, the old name of Relaxes? What is that called now? Let me see.
I think it's still called Relaxes.
Oh, is it?
Mm-hmm.
The Relaxes formula might really come in handy there as well to help rebuild the nerve sheaths.
Sure.
And really give them, and plus, of course, eating really good healthy food to help with all this rebuilding would be really smart. So that should take care of his ears.
Well, and also, along with that B&B, I would always take the complete tissue and bone formula.
Oh,
take
yeah.
them together.
Oh, yeah.
Put them both in the ears, put them both in the mouth, put them both down the back of the neck, you know.
Yeah.
Because as far as healing is concerned, nothing better than that complete tissue and bone formula.
Totally, totally. Let's go to Ed, who's an American Fork.
Okay, good morning, Ed.
Good morning, good morning. There's been a lot of talk about chlorine and the effects of it. Over here in American Fork, we have a community pool, and it's enclosed, and they've had real problems with the air quality. I think it's the chlorine, but nobody has already addressed that. But there's going to be more and more people talking about chlorine and the effects of it. Do you have any take on that?
We'll talk about that. Thanks
okay.
for your call.
Thanks.
We've been getting some excellent, excellent calls.
Absolutely.
Now, the Europeans have had a bigger problem with chlorine than Americans. And, you know, chlorine is a substance that has been beneficial only because they didn't want to use more expensive methods. So if you're going to purify the water at the source where you're getting the water, then it kind of makes sense to put something like chlorine that's going to stay in the water and keep it purified wherever you get it. Okay, but that's because we don't want to spend the money doing it the other way.
Mm-hmm.
In other places in the world, what they'll do is they'll purify the water at the recipient's place, you know, rather than at the source. And so that seems to make more sense. Now, during the Olympics when they were in Los Angeles, so this is quite a while ago, but the European swimmers would not swim in American pools because of the chlorine.
I don't blame them.
And so they looked at that situation and they said, well, we can do this. And so they went ahead and they used, what was it, injecting oxygen into it, you know, to purify the water. And that worked, you know. They had good, clean water that they were able to use for the Olympics, and the swimmers then were able to do there without the chlorine and everything and this chlorine smell in the building and everything.
Yeah, that's awful.
Yeah. There are other ways of doing it. It's just that they don't want to put out the expense.
Yeah, communities don't have the money to put out the expense, and it's so much easier just to use the chlorine. But you're right. When you walk into the community pool, especially when it's enclosed, it's just awful.
So, you know, I believe that the hydrogen peroxide or something like that can be put in the water, you know, instead of chlorine.
Yeah.
But it's just doing a new system. And we're so stuck with the chemical system that, you know, we don't want to change.
Mm-hmm.
But there are other ways of doing it. It's just that's the system we're in right now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a shame.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And even worse than the chlorine is the fluorine, which doesn't have a smell, but is very damaging. It doesn't come up off the water because it stays in the water. And And then we drink that, and then we have a lot of problems. And being in the water also, it reacts with your skin and causes damage. So,
but yet, according to all the dentists, fluorine is a very important thing to have in our water.
Yeah, well, they're wrong.
They really are wrong. We have about, 2 minutes left?
We don't have any other calls?
Not yet.
Oh, good. Well, then
let's talk about
I think
ginger.
We'll end the calls right now. We'll talk about Ginger's Garden Cafe. Oh, you know what?
Are we doing something for Valentine's?
They are. For Valentine's Day, Ginger's will be open with fine dining, and you can pick from the menu, and they'll have classical entertainment, and they're going to have some dancing.
Do they need to call ahead and make a reservation?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so 489-4500, call ahead and make a reservation for Valentine's night at Ginger's Garden Cafe. That'll be fun. I can't wait. That's February 14th, in case people don't know when Valentine's is.
It's a Wednesday.
It's a Wednesday night.
And so treat your wife, your sweetheart, to the best tasting and best for you meal that you can get.
Exactly. And also we wanted to mention healthieryouradio.com. We have all of our radio shows from Saturdays on healthieryouradio.com. They're arranged according to topics, so you can just listen to them as you need to. And I think we're just about out of time.
Just about. One other thing about Ginger's is, they have, their chefs are trained culinary chefs. And it's great. Great food.
Really good food. And now our music is coming, I'm assuming.
Well, it's on computer. So
oh, that's it.
We can just keep talking until it starts.
Okay.
So, also at 188 South Main in Springville, besides Ginger's Garden Cafe, is the Herb Shop, which is absolutely one of the best supplied herb businesses in America.
Mm-hmm.
Right here in Springville.
And Jared is so good there. He knows so much about what's going on and running that store and keeping things in there that we really like to have in there.
Right. It's been nice. The callers, such intelligent questions. Thankful for them. It's been wonderful, and we'll do it again next week. And so until then, be happy, have a healthier you.
The shadow.
my